time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, we back. We back, we black. Last week, final few days of Black History Month in the midst of the Black History Year.
Mm-hmm.
This was the leap year Black History Month, you know?
Had a little after party. Extra day up in here.
Yeah, could cook out, you know? Something fly. You know, but shit, we here, we kicking it. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that I'm over the hump, but I can say that I'm dealing with it in a great way. You know what I'm saying? I'm understanding some of the ebbs and flows and two steps forward and one step back, or you know what I mean? And being able to kind of, you know, roll with the punches. You know what I'm saying? And that part is cool, which allows me to, you know what I'm saying, kind of think a little better, and you know, I think it's just a certain energy that you use to create momentum. I guess what the kids would say, motion. You know what I'm saying? To create some motion, and before it was hard to even, you know, muster up that type of energy to create motion because you're using all your energy just to be regular. Just to fucking walk around this motherfucker. And then now I got a little energy to help try to create some motion. And that's what I've been on, you know what I'm saying? And I could feel it, you know what I'm saying? And you get the small signs of it, like little unexpected things that pop into your world. That'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, I must be on the right track. Nothing that hit yet, but just to know you on the right track is, you know, it's the key, you know what I mean? The key to keep going. It's like, you know what I'm saying, jet fuel for your jet when you, you know, when you ain't think you could take off. So that's where I'm at right now.
Slow motion better than no motion, for sure.
Word up.
For sure. Yeah, man, yeah, getting blasting off, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody could use some motion, though. That is the key. Everybody can put some gas in their tank, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
So, I'm happy to see that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good. I'm glad to hear that.
Because, you know, I'm used to being able to think a certain way and create the motion. And now I'm not able to think in that way. So, you didn't know. I mean, you got faith that the motion will come, but I didn't have faith that I could help create it, you know what I mean? And now I feel like I could help create it, and that's important to me.
What has been something that you've done to kind of, like, help create it that you feel like has kind of kickstarted something?
Oh, I mean, back in the Dizzy, when my, you know, before the situation, you know, I could see pictures of it, you know what I'm saying? I see it, or I could see this picture, that picture, put them two together and make the new picture of what's going to be. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get your Mahamstradamus on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, if this, then that type shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, not a prediction, but like a calculated, you know what I'm saying, thought. But when you don't have those pictures, you don't have the vision, you can't see it, so you're kind of in the dark, and it's like, oh, shit. You know, it's hard to even visualize what motion would look like in this present time. So it was very difficult to deal with that because that's the only way that I knew how to think. And now I can't think that way. So it's been a major adjustment in faith to say, you know what? Whatever it is, it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I always say it feels like sitting in a wheelchair in the middle of a riot with a little knife. You know what I'm saying? Hoping nobody don't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? I hope a motherfucker don't come over here.
You know, get a motherfucker up off me.
Right. Yeah. So now it's a way that I feel like you could imagine it without seeing it and help it come along. And then I started to see the signs of things coming into play, like, oh shit, I can do it another kind of way. And that part of the game, learning the new way, is exciting. You know what I'm saying? And it's the discovery in life. It's the part that keeps you going. But I've been listening to this shit, these podcasts. I've just been playing all kinds of different podcasts. And I stumbled upon one on mindfulness. And the lady who's known as the queen of mindfulness, and her name is Ellen Langer. She's a Harvard psychology professor. And she just, you know, she breaks down, you know, how to live life mindful, you know what I'm saying? And not just, she's like most of us go through life mindlessly. As far as just, you know, just going through life, whatever happens, you know what I'm saying? You may think about some stuff, but being mindful is being able to look at other points of views and learn and look at life through the lens of learning and discovering new shit. And even if you're doing something with something you've been doing over and over and over, just looking at it in a new way of what's different, what can I learn new from this thing, and keeping that in your everyday living. And once you got that in your everyday living, shit changes, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm feeling, you know what I mean? It's helping along the process to circumvent, you know what I'm saying, the feeling of not being able to see, to being able to experience. And the experience is helping to do the same thing that the vision used to do, if that makes any sense.
I think so. Being able to experience as opposed to being able to see sounds like being present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Being mindful, being in that moment, yeah. Because, you know, we say that all the time. That's the only thing you really can control. You know right. what I mean? Like, the past is the past and the future's not guaranteed. So it's like, in this moment is really all you got. So just enjoy this moment. Right.
And that's the thing you learn when you don't have the vision. You can't even worry that much, because the worry is all about shit you done put together that you saw in your head. Right. When you can't see it, you just be like, man, shit, it's gonna be what it's gonna be, man. Bring it on. If they come around that corner, I'm gonna stab them, jug them with my little knife.
Right. If that happens, you just keep looking at that blade, and then just, you know, peeping the scene, and being present. You know, it's interesting that you're talking about that. I can relate on as far as trying to build some motion. Mm-hmm. You know, just being out in the world. You know, with my career, like everything, you know, I don't have any management. I don't have no agent. I don't have no manager. Mm-hmm. You know, I got rid of my manager a while ago. My agent, you know, we parted ways a little longer than that. So everything that I've been pulling off has been just off the muscle, you know, as the kids say. You know what I mean? Just this the super cold call. You know what I mean? It could be tough. To, you know, cold calling, it kind of reminds me of back when I was doing sales. Mm-hmm. You know, at least I had a client list. I mean, I still got a client list now, but it's just like, are they buying what you're selling? You know, and don't take that shit personal either way, and keep going and keep, and until you pull something, and really stay in the moment of sending out emails, making follow-up calls, all of that. Actually, I got a couple things I got to follow up on now. But, you know, it can be, I don't say demoralize it, but you could definitely be like, you know, like it could get the best of you, or it could get the best of me when it feels as though it's not the motion that I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And but you got to create it. So, you know, I was saying, what type of stuff do you listen to tap it? I'm going to have to check out that mindfulness podcast, but I've been on my own.
Go ahead. What I did, I heard one podcast, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I heard her on it, and then I searched her name. She got a couple of books. So she's been like a guest on a lot of different podcasts. It's not her podcast. She's like an older woman. Gotcha. She's like old. You know what I'm saying? Like 70-something or something like that. And, you know, quite frankly, she says a lot of the same stuff on different ones. But there's different ones that have different topic. But I was looking at a very specific topic. And even when she says a lot of things, she elaborates a little more on this one than on the last one. So I listened to maybe 5 podcasts with her on it to really catch the understanding of what she was trying to say. And it was very interesting because a lot of the programs that they have for people who have these types of brain injuries, right? Like speech therapy and shit like that. A lot of them don't address what I need them to address. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They address like more the day-to-day stuff and not the specific stuff that's specific to me. And so I started listening to people, just their own testimonies that had the same type of thing happen to them. And it gave you a good awareness of, okay, I'm not the only one. Okay, there's other people that went through this shit. Oh, damn, she came. She bounced back from that shit real good. Okay, it give you hope, right? But that I learned that ain't what I need. You know what I'm saying? I already got some hope. You know what I mean? So once I heard the concept of mindfulness, it helped me more with the specific injury than the people talking about the specific injury, because it's different for everybody. But mindfulness is mindfulness for everybody. And it helps you address some of the things that I was lacking. As far as, you know, my vision, I forget what they call the scientific term for not being able to visualize. But it helped me with that. And that part meant more than all of the other therapy shit I had been through. And so it helped me see the whole shit in a different way. And when you see it in a whole different way, then it opens up new options. And even the whole concept of looking at things differently and learning from them helps you open up a whole nother world and know that, oh, okay, shit, I could do this thing a whole nother kind of way. And that's what I needed. And that's why it was, you know what I'm saying? That's why it was important to me. I don't know what anybody else would get from that shit, but being mindful is something that all of us could, you know what I'm saying, experience and get something out of. But for me, it was paramount to what I was going through, what I am going through, rather.
I hear that. Yeah, I could dig it. I think what I've been doing is, I guess, my level of mind, and I was just looking up mindfulness, and it was talking about, you know, they also spoke about meditation, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Actually,
no, go ahead. She makes a clear distinction with meditation. So she's basically saying that meditation is something to get you to mindfulness. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, they call it, you know, it's a post-meditative state. You know what I'm saying? Mindfulness, you could do anytime, anywhere, and just make it a part of your life without even having to meditate, because meditation is what is getting you there. Now, the meditatives might be, you know what I'm saying, a little upset.
The meditatives.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say that as my fact. I'm just telling you what I heard.
I feel like if you anger a meditator, they're going to be kind of chill about it anyway. You know what I mean? They ain't going to wild out. You ain't going to get them out of sorts. They used to kind of pushing energy off. Yeah. They got more control over that type of shit. I did that. I meditated one night when I was in D.C. just before a show. Just to be good, just to be right. You know what I mean? I think it was one of the shows I knew was sold out. So I was just like, let me just be in, you know what I mean? Like, good. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even talking about good as far as performance goes. I'm talking about just good as in the moment, to be in the moment. You know, that's one of the things that I've been very intentional about, just being in the moment as much as I can. So, like, and when I say that, I mean, you know, when doing comedy, you know, we got routines, right? You know, you're working on jokes for a long time. You're building jokes, but you have jokes that have proven to work. So you got your go-tos, you know, your A material, and then you fold new shit in and, you know, maybe some crowd work or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the thing about a joke is almost like a song because it's a melody to the joke. Mm-hmm. You know, you tell a joke the same time enough times, you know, and then I say it like this, and then I bring it down here, and then this is the delivery. You know what I mean? And it's just like, if you're not careful, or if I'm not careful, I could really just lock into the joke, I mean, the melody of it all, and I'm just singing it, but almost in a detached manner. Dun, 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 dun. Here comes the laugh, boom, bap. As opposed to, you know, it's true. No, you know, God. And sometimes
I never thought about it like that. That's why I'm not laughing at you. I'm just like, damn.
Yeah, because it's a routine. It's a routine. You say a lot of the same shit night after night after night. That's just how you know. That's how you work the material. But then there's also what I like to do to kind of be present about it, is it like tweak it, actively tweak it. Maybe try a different word. Maybe set it up differently. Maybe put it in a different part of the set, you know, just to kind of be present when I do it. You know what I mean? Or another thing that I'll do to be present is I'll try to go at least five minutes without doing material, just in the moment, just riffing, talking about the room, talking about whatever happened that day, talking about somebody in the crowd, and not even like getting at them, but you know, maybe just crowd work, whatever, but just to kind of, I guess, center myself about the fact that it's about me. The material is secondary. You know what I mean? Like, the jokes are the jokes. The material is secondary. It took me a while to even think about that, because there's times when, like, if you bombing, you're like, all right, but I got to do the A material. And then you go to the A material, and that shit just not hit. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those moments where you realize, nigga, it's not about the joke. It's about how you handling the situation.
That's right. Life.
So, it's life. And it's like, back to what we talk about, it's being present. Because if you detached, you know, you might not even realize that you detached. Or you might not even realize you lost them until too late. Mm. You know? And it is what it is. But, as far as the motivation of it all goes, as far as motion goes, you know, like I said, I'm out here cold calling, I'm picking up phones, reaching out to people. You know, that's why I've been definitely tapped into the drug dealer meetings. You know what I mean? The Griselda, the pull-ups. I like that shit. It's impromptu. I could be there. I'll pull up on you. So, but I'm into that because it's face to face. It's like, nah, let's look. Shit, ain't no better time than now. That type of shit, right? And but as far as some motivation, you know, I've talked about them before, but I tapped back into my man Larry June, and you know, Larry June got that, you know, get shit done music. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, the way he just processes, just, you know, numbers. You know what I'm saying? Putting shit together, making plays, getting it done. This is what we doing. Waking up, eating good. You know, like, all of that shit. Like, it just, there's some records where I'm like, yeah, I needed to hear that. I just needed to hear that. Sometimes you got to be very mindful about your soundtrack, about the score to your hustle.
Right.
So, yeah, but yeah, shout out to Larry June, man. Yeah, shout out to my homie Relly too, man. We was talking about Larry and all of that, and he's one of these cats that's been getting his shit off and, like, you know, kind of accountability partner of sorts. So salute to that man too. But yeah, motion, man. Mm-hmm. Let's get it. you know, as Jeezy would once say.
Oh, let's get it.
Let's get it.
First, I'ma count my flow. Then what?
Word. Word. It's just that simple. And then what? All right, what's the next step? Yup. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Shout out to his auntie with the yams. You know what I mean? Under the porch.
Which Carisha just up and jacked his lingo.
The yams, but she calling that Miami, huh? The yams. You ever heard that before?
Miami? You know, I don't live in Miami, so I can't really speak on what the yams.
That's what I
said.
Have you ever heard that?
It just seems like it's a, the way I'm reading it from her, it's a catch-all phrase for all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? Yams used to be pretty specific about some shit that you wanted to say what it is, but you really couldn't say what it was, so you call it a yam.
Right. You know, right. If you know, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You figure it out.
Exactly. You should have caught it by the pronunciation, how I linked into the to how I rounded that shit. Yeah.
Right.
I was watching a little clip. It's interesting to see how artists kind of develop and their personality starts to shine a little bit more. They get less and less inhibited or whatever, or less shy. Mm-hmm. But I was watching Carisha on the or Young Miami on the People's Gallery, you know, and she was oozing a lot of charisma. You know what I'm saying? Like she, her shit was like on, you know. Her talk game was right there. You know what I mean? It was right what you needed. It was what you wanted to hear. It really was in line with the whole city girl, you know, persona, the city girl aesthetic, what it's going to be. This is what you think about when you hear that term. Like, you forget, okay, these are this is one of the founding members of the City Girl Enterprises. And she was talking that shit. And I was like, all right, bet.
I mean, you got to give Carisha her props. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, she from Miami, Opa-locka to be exact. But she's a Brownlee. And if you're not from the 80s Miami, you don't know. But Rick Brownlee and his brother, they was the kings of Opa-locka. Like, them niggas' names was ringing. Them niggas was buzzing. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to have your name ringing those types of bells when you wasn't really in the city. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Opa-locka had his hood, all that, but it wasn't in Liberty City. It wasn't in Overtown. You know what I'm saying? So most of the other places, the hustlers kind of took a back seat to the hustlers from the city.
Okay.
But Rick name rung bells all through the city. They could mean in Opa-locka they calling the mayor. You know what I'm saying? So she not from, you know, just a random situation. She understands it a lot more than probably more than a lot of other people, especially in this game. So
okay.
She still got some rapping to work on, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
swag and, you know what I'm saying, understanding the life, nigga, is a big part. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Bars, this wasn't bars. This was just shit talk. But you know, and it was official. I was like, all right, bet. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, since we're talking about a woman rapper, talk about bars, talking about motion. You listen to that Glorilla record, Glow?
Yeah, I like Glorilla.
That shit's crazy. That shit is popping. I had that shit on repeat for about, it's only a minute and a half. So it's very, and the way how it's set up, it repeats seamlessly. The way it fades out and comes back in, it repeats. You know, sometimes you put some shit on repeat, you know, oh, okay, it just started again. The shit is so seamless, you realize, oh, shit, it started again. This is the third time I've been listening to it. Mm-hmm. But that shit, that little knock, I'm not sure who did the beat on that. But it definitely has that Memphis type of shit. You know what I mean? The little chant. Yeah, glow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's based one off line. Of yeah, ho. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, ho. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So damn, she just makes put perfect glow sense.
Instead of ho. You know what I mean?
Oh, look at that. Makes perfect sense then. Yeah, like, look at that.
You remember like 3-6 Mafia be riding, then the beat be hitting, then they come in with that, yeah, ho.
Yeah, ho. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's it. Yeah. She definitely.
Just take it to the next level.
Hell yeah, she definitely appropriated that shit. Cause I told, now that you say it, I'm like, of course. But true erasure, that shit had me. I was like, damn, this shit, all of that. And it's popping. But there's a, it is just interesting cause it's like, it's almost like some, just some, you know, she's hitting herself with affirmations. This one line, stop overthinking, bitch, you better. Some old slick shit. I was like, alright, yeah.
That's what made the glow. Shit so dope when she, in the video, she was pulling up on herself. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I haven't seen the video yet.
Yeah, like I gotta watch it. She had the fast food restaurant working. She pull up in the Maybach.
Oh.
And you know what I'm saying? And giving her some affirmations. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, you know, and it's so funny. I'm not sure if it was intentional. I believe it might have been, but just a little Easter egg. Because I did see a screen grab from the video. I haven't watched the video. But the video is referencing a whole nother video.
Oh,
and
word?
it's referencing a young Yorno. Oh, it's a Yorno with I don't know the woman's name, the young thespian, but it's a Yorno with Cat pulling up on the drive through trying to get some breakfast, and she's like, "Yo, we ain't selling breakfast right now. We don't even make breakfast at this spot." He's like, "But damn, it's early in the morning. I just want some breakfast." He was like, you got eggs in there? I mean, I think we got some eggs. You know what? Did y'all open up yet? Nah, we ain't open up yet. Well, look, I'm going to come in there, and then we'll figure it out. She's like, all right, bet. And, you know, they figure it out. You know what I'm saying? It's some yams for breakfast. But it's definitely, it's become, I guess, somewhat of a classic Yorno scene. And the only reason I even know much about it was because they've been doing this, like, where they'll come up with these, I guess it's a generational classic, because it's not even from my era of Yorno hood. You know what I mean? I feel like I've retired. But it just, you know what I mean? I'm just being honest with you. But it came up on my timeline, and they had, I don't know if it was in the context of Black history or some shit like that, but they was like, if you know this screen grab, then you already know what it is. Da-da-da-da-da. This before Glorilla even used it. I was like, yo, what is this? Because, you know, I'm always, my attention is always piqued by if you know type of situation, especially if I don't know. I want to know. You know what I mean? Curiosity, whatever, nosiness, whatever. But I was like, let me do some research. And then so later on, I seen somebody talk about it. It was like, yo, Glorilla, she referenced such and such. That's ill. So it was like on another level. So FYI, y'all check it out. You know what I mean? If you want to, you know, do the knowledge.
Do the knowledge.
Do the knowledge. Yeah, Glow. Yeah. Yeah, now I'm about to go listen to
Memphis. Yeah. Memphis is on a roll, which they deserve. Yes. One. You know what I'm saying? But they haven't not been on a roll for years. You know what I'm saying? Since 8-Ball and MJG. You know what I'm saying? In the hip-hop space. Right. And wow. And that's And this is a thing I talk about when people start talking about Nas. He fell right in the space where when his album dropped, New York was at the peak. You know what I'm saying? The Source was bigging that shit up because they heard that shit before we heard it. It was 5 mics before the album even came out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was the next Rakim. And, you know, they was bigging it up, you know what I'm saying? So by the time we heard it, it was like we've already heard all of the propaganda. But at the same time, it was at a point in the South where rap, niggas who could rap, was making their own way. Before, you know what I'm saying, the South was about dancing and shit like that. But now it's niggas coming out that could rap. JT Money, you know what I'm saying, 8-Ball MJG. You know what I mean? It was like, we don't really got to be forced into the New York situation. So when 8-Ball came, that was the first time you heard of what Memphis had going on. You know what I'm saying? For me. And then I had a homeboy. I had two homeboys who went to Tennessee State. And they was talking about Memphis and the gangster walk, which niggas is still doing now to a whole another level. So they've been putting in all of this work. 3-6 Mafia came along and represented the whole shit. They represented the type of nigga that nobody else ever represented in rap. Like, these niggas was the, you know what I'm saying? Niggas, they was representing the low-life nigga that you didn't really want to run into. You know what I'm saying? I heard a line, I think it was Project Pat. Nigga was like, you know, it's basically, it was like a Friday night. I'm in the parking lot of the liquor store snorting coke off the dashboard. I'm like, nigga, what? Like, that's the nigga you do not want to run into at the liquor store on Friday night on your way to the club, all dressed up, getting your bottle. You know what I'm saying? And this nigga sitting over here with a nigga in a bucket, no rims, no paint job, snorting coke off the dashboard. You know what I'm saying? Stumbling upon a lick, which is could be you. You know what I'm saying? So nobody, I hadn't heard nobody represent that, and the way they represent it, tear the club up. You know what I'm saying? All that shit birthed Crunk. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of shit came from that. So when Juicy J got his reprise with what's his name? With who? Wiz.
Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, with Wiz, it made so much sense. And to see ASAP Rocky and all them guys pulling from those 90s groups, it was like, damn, they deserve that shit. And the role that they own, I mean, it's been there. You know what I'm saying? It's just not a world catching up.
Yeah. Salute to Project Pat and his squadron. Yeah, yeah. You know,
Project Pat had the dopest cadence. You know what I'm saying? That nigga cadence still hold true to right now. Like, he be changing it now. Like, when he rap now, he be changing it. And of course, you gotta, you know, people evolve and change. But his cadence from the 90s hold true right now. This what Meg and Glow and all them is still riding off of those cadences that these niggas brought upon in the 90s.
Mm. Let me ask you this, because I'm not, like, I know Project Pat shit, and I even know 8-Ball, some 8-Ball and MJG stuff, but, and when I was saying salute to Project Pat and the squad, because we remember from a while ago, like, it's rumored he listens to the pod. So, you know, peace to his peoples. Yeah. But what's one of your favorite 8-Ball MJG records?
The whole On Top of the World album is my favorite. You know what I'm saying? The first time I ever heard 8-Ball MJG was Pimp. And you can't see me, so I can't explain it how I usually explain it. But it was the first time I heard a rapper slow the beat down and rap double time. You know what I'm saying? Make your head go up and down like that. As opposed to just up and down like Nas would, or like, you know, the rappers generally would. And I saw probably like 3 or 4 niggas at the park. It's like the middle of a day. Nobody out there but these 4 niggas sitting on a bench on a picnic table like thing, with a little radio in between them, and they just bobbing their head. I'm like, what the fuck are they listening to? So when I walked over there, I could hear it was Pimp. You know what I'm saying? And I asked them who it was. They was like, 8-Ball MJG. And I'm like, oh, these niggas on something totally different. Like, they tapped in. Like, they was tapped in so hard, it was like, oh, these niggas is striking a chord differently than anybody else. And that's what made me go check them out. And they grew up, they was like, you know what I'm saying? They had the Lexus Coupe on the album with the convertible chop. You know what I'm saying? Like, but then when they came with Space Age Pimpin', it was just sonically in place. They, you know what I'm saying? They got their mixing and all that shit together. You know what I'm saying? They was independent with Tony Draper, who ran the label. You know what I'm saying? Suave House. You know, that's where fucking Rick Ross started. That's where he first tried to get on with Suave House. But the trip part was, Suave House was based in Houston, and these niggas was from Memphis. And that's why when you hear UGK, who came a few years after, the styles had kind of merged between Memphis and Texas. You see what I'm saying? So it was slow, but they was rapping. Like now how people got the slow music, but it's double time. So it's still, it's actually fast, but they moving slow on it. You know what I'm saying? So it changed the game. For me, it was like, oh, these niggas innovated this shit. You know what I'm saying? And then, like I said, On Top of the World was just solid all the way through. You know what I'm saying? They had this one joint called Lay 'Em Down, which
You hoes lay 'em down. That shit?
Lay it down, lay it down. These hoes lay it down, lay it down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the original. You know how I Fuck Them Other Niggas is?
Yeah.
Lay 'Em Down was the original version of how people react to Fuck Them Other Niggas. If just so y'all could get a picture. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Yeah. Some old No More Playing GA type of energy.
Yeah, it's just like, oh shit. Like the first time I seen that shit in the club, like I think I was in Atlanta. Niggas went crazy. I was like, oh, these niggas is tapped in. And what people in the media industry and they didn't understand, because of course they in New York, they didn't understand how tapped in people was to this shit. And, you know, just to see it come back now is amazing. But, you know, of course the message is crazy. They talking crazy, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying. It's tapping in some kind of way.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to get them a spin again. It's been a minute since I listened to some 8-Ball MJG. Yeah. That definitely, from what I remember about them, what I remember listening to, they definitely some shit that spins well in the whip. You know what I mean? Like that's driving music. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and
so
get those two.
You know what I'm saying? You got A-Ball MJG and then, you know, of course 3-6 and Project Pat. But out of that Suave House, you got spinoffs like had a nigga named Tila. Right. Tila.
Oh, yeah.
So you get Jazzy Faye out of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of niggas came from out of that scene.
Yeah, Show Nuff was my record. That was my shit. That beat was so crazy. Yeah, that shit was crazy. I wonder if Jazzy Faye did that.
Yeah, he did. That's why I said him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's bananas. Yeah, that shit was fire. That was a banger. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of old school, you know, shit being flipped and mined. I've been peeping, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, it's probably been for a long time seeing it, but it's like Carhartt. Now, Carhartt has been back for a while, you know, especially like the work in progress, like the Japanese stuff and, you know what I mean, the more like design forward Carhartt shit, stylized shit. But like I've been noticing Carhartt jackets are popping again, but not just Carhartt jackets. That's, you know, workwear. Obviously, that's been a trend for a little while, but like vintage Carhartt jackets, right? Now, but when you say vintage Carhartt, you know, Carhartt is workwear, right? Heavy on the work, you know what I mean? Working on at the plant, we working on the line, you know what I mean? We doing real work where shit is, there's dirt under your nails type work, you know? And these workwear jackets, these old Carhartt jackets are going for crazy money and they look horrible. Shits look terrible. Like, what the fuck is going on? It's one of those things that, like, one of those trends you see, you're like, I ain't for me, but okay, I get it somewhat. You know, like, there's the time, and it still is, like, when people buy, like, old Levi's and shit like that, and they just be looking real destroyed, and or some of these old concert t-shirts, and the more fucked up they look, the more expensive they are. And I never was really one of them people that was gonna spend all that money on some shit that not even like it ain't, it's not, it's far from gently used. You know what I'm saying? I don't even like playing pre-owned shit too often at all, but if it's gonna be pre-owned, please let that shit be gently used, you know, not, oh, nigga, this shit is done for. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I'm not paying a premium for some shit that is done for. But there is an absolute market for done for ass Carhartt jackets, and it's crazy to me. I've seen it up close and personal. I'm like, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah, they ain't gonna get me, player. I'll find my own shit to bring back before they get
you know what I mean? Exactly. Exactly.
Pay a premium for some shit. Yeah, the nigga dogged out. I bring back some shit I dogged out.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Why not? Especially somebody that's from the era that it was dogged out in. You know what I mean? I could understand if you was a young kid and you just tried to pay for some, you know, the patina. You know what I mean? Okay, I understand it. You know, it's a bit of cosplay. But shit, if you old enough to have done that same work to some shit that you had, you better go ahead and look in them closets somewhere, go to that basement and figure it out, man. Get yourself some homegrown patina. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel you. I put
in my own work in progress, nigga.
Right. Exactly. Oh, shit, man. Folks then tried to sack the quarterback. Seen the Cam Newton footage.
Oh, no, man, come on, man. See, that type of shit I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
What you talking about?
I was talking about violence. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. How people like to see that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Cam ain't no violent nigga. You know what I'm saying? He be out there helping the kids, man. He got on a Dr. Seuss hat, nigga. This nigga is chilling, man. Smoking cigars, man. Just, you know what I'm saying? Growing his dreads. Just a rich ex-NFL nigga. But emphasis on NFL nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which means these niggas know how to work out against the strongest niggas.
Two-a-days.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Niggas coming at you full speed with gear on, helmets and shit, trying to destroy you.
Right.
Man, come on, man. You seen them punches bouncing off Cam, man. Niggas was throwing punches. Them shits weren't doing shit. Nigga got six of them holding on to him. Nigga ain't hit the ground.
No. Couldn't bring him down. Couldn't sack the quarterback. This man was fucking standing tall, hat intact. You know what I mean? Looking like Orko.
Nigga threw that nigga from the stage. Well, I guess it was a stage, whatever.
But you know what? I'm gonna tell you this. Yeah, he tossed this motherfucker. Like, yeah, he's native to that. You gotta understand that man is native. There's plenty of game footage. There's tape that you can watch. These niggas didn't watch the tape because this nigga does well against the blitz.
They think that shit is just a game, nigga. Them niggas is actually physically violent out there.
Right. And most of them cats, at least up to 10 years, maybe 15 years past their retirement or exit, they more often than not, just out of habit, stay in fucking pro shape.
Nigga, run up on Shannon Sharpe if you want.
Nah, don't do it. Don't do it.
That's why Mike was like, hey, nigga, I got a gun.
Right.
Niggas don't want no problems with that shit, man.
Nah, not all of that. Niggas is chill.
Raised. Them niggas is bred violently.
Right. It's like they're like human pit bulls. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate to say it, but that's, you know how motherfuckers used to breed pit bulls to fight? I guess now that's problematic. Obviously, Peter. Peter's listening. You know, I'm not for all of that, but I'm just saying.
An analogy, there was a time.
Yeah, there was a time. But what was my point about the Cam Newton shit that struck? Oh, my point was this was crazy. When I saw the footage, it wasn't surprising. It wasn't even shocking. It was like, oh shit. But I felt as though there had been a bit of an undercurrent of this. Like it boiled over. There had been a little bit of a simmer. You know, like Cam has been doing these camps for a while, but this isn't the first time that we've seen some footage. And these weren't even young kids. You know what I'm saying? They just look like children compared to Cam. I think it's like 6'7".
6'5". Built like a tank. They call him Superman.
Yeah, for good reason, because he was tossing these motherfuckers. But when I first saw the fight, I thought he was a young kid, like, formed on him. And maybe it was a few young kids, but these are grown-ass men. But my point was, I seen it coming on some Amsterdam shit. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I seen the shit coming. Because I remember when they was, probably a few months ago, they had a little video coming out with the kids heckling them. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, you ain't that good no more. Da 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 da. He was like, nigga, I'm rich. I remember all of that. I'm rich, nigga. What the fuck are you talking about? I was in the league, little nigga. You are here at my camp. Maybe right. You could get it to the, you know what I'm saying? But I know, you know, we talk about, like you just said, a lot of these athletes, especially in football, it's like, you're fucking honed in violence. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of aggression mm-hmm. that is tempered to be focused on some shit, right? Mm-hmm. So you just got all of this fucking palpable rage that you're trying to focus within a playbook. But everybody is not as harnessed with how they react and how they respond or whatever. So, like, it wasn't super surprising because it was like, it's almost like familiarity breeds contempt. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cam is from Atlanta, from out there. What's the school? You know the school.
Westlake.
Westlake. You know what I'm saying? But he from out there. You know what I'm saying? So people have seen his rise, and, you know, now he's not with the league, which don't make him not still a fucking physical specimen ass nigga. These motherfuckers he was one of the illest. So, but I think sometimes when you around the people sometimes, and you were in a position where you were like, heralded or whatever, or put in, you on a platform, and now you with the people, sometimes the people could take that shit as a point of, you know, well, we could shit on you now. You know what I'm saying? You out here with us. You know what I'm saying?
He's trying to help y'all, nigga. God,
he's trying. Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes motherfuckers don't even see that. They don't even see the fact that I'm here, you know, sharing my talents and my insight and my gifts and, you know what I mean, giving some insight and some advice to anybody that might be on that trajectory. Listen, take it from me as a motherfucker that has been there. Mm-hmm. I got some game to give. A lot of motherfuckers is like, man, fuck out of here. But you here with us. And however they feel about their situation might get projected on you. So I saw a lot of that kind of bubbling when I would see some of these little videos where they was like heckling the cat like he wasn't in the NFL. And it's crazy. And it got to the next level where it's like, all right, man, all of these fucking, all of this roasting and tough talk and all these little attacks at my character, the shit then got to the point that now you trying to put hands and feet on me. And now I got to remind motherfuckers that, nah, bro, look, shit, motherfucker, I was starting. Niggas, what the fuck is you talking about? And, yeah, that's what turned to. He was just tossing motherfuckers. And the thing was, you know, people pointed out, he wasn't throwing no punches. You know right. what I'm saying? I mean, that's probably like for legal reasons too, I would imagine. Right. But you know, that's great to wear. What do they call that? Is that a keto or is that a judo? Y'all gotta let me know. I think one some of my little martial artists in the community, let us know which one is the one where you use the momentum of the attacker.
That's a keto.
It's a keto. Yeah, he was in that bitch.
My daddy taught me. That was my first little fight move I learned.
Yeah, that was some keto. That keto worked well when it worked. When it don't work, it's a problem.
The trick when using a keto with niggas.
Yes, what is the trick with using the keto with niggas?
Is to be first, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You gotta make your move first. When you see the doom impending, nigga, you gotta put yourself in a keto position so that okay. niggas could make they move and you could go ahead and use their momentum against them. Because the first part gives you the element of you got the jump. Now they got the pressure. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, and when they swing it back or they throw it back or they jump back, now you got the leverage to use your Aikido. If you try to use your Aikido too late, nigga, niggas is already on your ass.
You're going to be akimbo. Shit is crazy, nigga. It's over for this nigga.
You can't use that shit too late. Niggas is already on you, man.
Yeah, man, you don't want it. It's always sad to see the motherfucker trying to use the martial arts and the shit go left. Because niggas dedicate so much of their life to them teachings. You know what I mean?
Nigga, you gotta be first, nigga. You gotta set the tone, man. Nigga. We doing something different, nigga. You can't already get engaged in a boxing match, nigga,
right,
with your keto. Right. And niggas already upside your head and you know, punched you in the nose.
It's over. It's a wrap. Oh, shit. Went from a keto to a victim.
Nah, you don't want to be no victim, man. Best part about martial arts or that type of, you know what I'm saying, that skullduggery, as niggas would call it. Best part of skullduggery is that, you know what I'm saying, you are present in all of the moments. You understand, okay, this shit is on, and your skullduggery is used to assist you. You know what I'm saying? But if a nigga punch you in your nose first, he got skullduggery on you. And you know what I'm saying? Now you just trying to fucking get your shit together.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst when that happens. Oh, shit, man. Yeah, but salute to old Cam. You remember the rapper Skullduggery? Speaking of
vaguely,
no, yeah, it was from New Orleans. He was on No Limit.
That's one of them No Limit soldiers.
Yeah, it's like one of the Wu Gambinos. Yeah, man. Yeah,
I mean, it was a lot of them niggas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to New Orleans, though. I posted one of my New Orleans videos the other day. You know what I'm saying?
The Zulu Ball, right?
Yeah, Zulu Ball. You know, I don't know if we ever talked about Zulu Ball.
We spoke about it. Oh, about, that's how I know about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay,
but go ahead. You want to say some more?
I went and shot the Zulu Ball February 20-something of 2020. You know what I'm saying? A couple of days before they start shutting shit down. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We never even finished the project because they shut shit down. You know what I'm saying? It was members in the Zulu social club that was dying, nigga. It was bad. You know what I'm saying? Remember, New Orleans was a big hub for that shit. And we just left a party with 20,000 people. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. I do remember you talking about that. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember you talking about that. And yeah, New Orleans was one of the first afflicted got hit hard. They was probably the first in the state. It was like Italy, then New Orleans.
It was New York. Remember New York had it bad. Remember we shut down before
New York
we
got
shut
it before
down.
New York yeah, got it before New Orleans.
Remember the guy that was upstate had brought it in. They had tracked him upstate. That's what they tried to say.
Oh, right, right,
but,
right. Yeah,
but they shut down New York probably a week before everywhere else. So But we had this thing. It's 20,000 black people, and this was the livest shit I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? I've been to homecomings, all kind of shit. But this was different because Zulu Ball had, you know, they had their organizational people. They have their ceremonial stuff where they present the queen. But it's 20,000 people in attendance. Not all members, just anybody could come. Buy a table. You buy a table. You bring your own shit. You know what I'm saying? So every table got their own liquor, whatever food they want to bring. Some people got catering. Some, you know what I'm saying? It's like set out all the way around. Some people came with their, you know, coolers full of shit. So everybody, it got whatever they got, whatever they want to be happy. Or you could float around the different tables and enjoy. Like, everybody got shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's multi-generational. It's old people there. It's middle people there. It's young people there. It's everybody having a great, everybody just having it. You know what I'm saying? You got performers. And you know what I'm saying? You got low life people, you got high life people, but everybody is in black tie clothes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I've never been to a place where you got this many people from this many different kinds of backgrounds and places and understandings, no problems, and everybody just having it. It was like, you know what I'm saying? When the pandemic hit, you like, damn, I wonder if that's the last shit I'm gonna ever go to. And if it was, I'm like, shit, I seen enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, that shit is something different. And New Orleans is already a different place. You know what I'm saying? So they have fun in their way. You know what I'm saying? Southern charmish they are. You know what I'm saying? And then they having it is, and it's like, I just felt at home. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh yeah, I'm home. I'm somewhere where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? I done been to homecomings, which is like that, but it's like that mostly for the people whose homecoming it is. I think this shit right here, even the people who won, I knew nobody in that motherfucker except the nigga that I was with. And I felt like I'm home. Oh, this is it, nigga. Shout out to New Orleans, man. I appreciate y'all. Keep being y'all.
That's what it is. Yeah, so you gonna go back?
Hell yeah, as soon as I get a chance. Okay. They just had it a couple weeks ago, so shit, maybe next year. Shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's gonna be crazy. New Orleans
friends.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy because that's going to be Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, Zulu, all of that.
Mardi Gras, oh, man. New
Orleans, it's going to be bananas.
Yeah, next year. Maybe I should get a table. And shit. Yeah, let's plan that out.
Talk that shit. Get it done. Zulu, the Zulu table.
Nigga, you coming too?
Yeah, I come out. Fuck it, I'll be there. I'll be there. Fuck it. Yeah, I like New Orleans. I enjoy New Orleans. I finally, you know, unlocked it, and I want to keep going. So, yeah, fuck it. I would go. That's going to be a nice little, just as appropriate, it's a nice little gumbo of fun. You know what I mean? But, that shit is such a dad joke. Yo, I don't know kids, but I do like a good dad joke, right? I told y'all last week. I talked about my procedure, but I told you I went and got a physical too. I did a little dad joke there because I had to, you know, you gotta leave a urine sample. So I'm going to pay, settle out, and you gotta leave a sample in the bathroom. And I tell the lady at the desk, I was like, "Look, I left a little urine sample in the bathroom. It's just a sample. Now, if you want some more, you're gonna have to pay." It was silly as shit. And she laughed. And I would imagine she probably heard that joke before, but that shit made her laugh. And that made me feel good, like how pops would feel. You know what I'm saying? Got one off. Hey! In the wild.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, shit, man. Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, shit. Now, I mean, that's hard when you're asking, nigga. Like, we just kept talking. I just be talking.
Oh,
like,
shit. We keep talking.
I don't know, man. We'll be back next week with some BMF. I know that.
Oh, yeah. BMF comes off this. Damn, boy, that boy Fifth don't play around. Yeah, BMF comes right back. We're going to talk about that. Schoolboy Q's album comes out this Friday. I'm excited about that. That's one of my favorites of TDE. You know, he might be my favorite of TDE now that Kendrick's not in TDE no more. So yeah,
why he Schoolboy not at TDE Q. no more?
He left TDE. He left TDE. What started his own thing. PG Lang. He left. He left TDE maybe 2 albums ago, or maybe this last album. Yeah, I mean, it's all good.
The last album he was TDE.
No, it's PG Lang.
Okay, keep it moving because I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I'm excited about it. I fuck with Schoolboy Q. I think he's a funny nigga, and he makes good albums. He makes real good projects, so that should be good. Yeah, man.
Yeah, not two you years know. Ago. 22.
Oh, it says it? You just looked it up?
Yeah.
Damn. That's it. Damn, man. I mean, you know, it's all good.
So he just on Aftermath?
I don't even think. I don't even think he's on Aftermath. I think it's just PG Lang. Might be straight PG Lang in the scope. Him and Dave Free. Yeah.
It's free. I don't know. Nobody's splitting my money.
Yeah, man, I done earned enough. I done bought the freedom. Let me go ahead and, you know what I mean, break down this bigger portion.
No wonder he's slow dragging these albums.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Y'all niggas ain't getting the most out of me.
Leisurely. You know what I'm saying? Kickback Kenny.
I'm slow on that one.
Yeah, that's all good.
Oh, Baby King went with him?
But I think he signed Baby King. Baby King, I don't think was ever on TDE. You know, that's his cousin. So speaking of that, they got a, what is it called? The something blue. There's a harmonic blue or something. There's a, like a little, based on Baby King's record, there's like a little visual, I guess, like a little small little story kind of thing that's on Amazon Prime. It's been on there for a few months. It's some real, like, you know, surreal type of, you know, weird shit, you know, but it's interesting. It's interesting to see. But yeah, so I'm excited about this Schoolboy Q record. I was watching this David Chang show on Netflix. David Chang is this chef who, you know, he's the one that started Momofuku or whatever. And he's a hell of a chef. I found out about him because I fuck with Momofuku. And I listened to his pod here and there. So now he got a show where he's just like cooking for his friends and shit. I was just watching an episode. He was cooking for Seth Rogen and this other guy, Ike. I don't know how to pronounce Ike's last name, but he's a comedian, but he's also like a comedy actor or whatever. And the theme of the show was like high low. So they broke out like thousands of dollars of caviar and they throwing that shit on top of fucking Pizza Hut pizza and wow, just flagrant shit. But it looked good. Some of the shit looked good to the motherfucker. You know what I mean? It just looked fun. Like, that's my shit now. You know, shout out to my cousin Sekou. We was kicking it. We was eating some shit this past week. And it's like, you know, I like just kicking it with my peoples and just having a good meal. Like, that's my thing. Just, you know what I mean? Just some good food and just good food, good company, good shit talking, maybe, you know what I mean? A little bit of alcohol or whatever like that. That's it for me. I don't need to stand on no couches no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think those days is over. I like getting a nice little table. You know what I mean? Where they respect, you know, your staying long. You know what I'm saying? Like, where they not trying to hustle you up out of there and turn the shit over. Like, you know, that's one of the things I did like about Paris is like you could stay in that bitch forever. You know. But yeah, I like that. And then speaking of just some old weird juxtapositions. I wasn't high. I ain't been high in a minute, but it felt like some real high cuisine when I was just in my. I hadn't really gone. I needed to go grocery shopping, so I was hungry, but I didn't really have a whole lot in the cabinet because I hadn't gone grocery shopping in a minute. So I definitely put some shit together. That sounds crazy, but it was fire. I had some box macaroni and cheese, and then I mixed that shit with some fucking ramen. That shit was fire. Fantastic. That shit sounds crazy. That shit was fantastic, dog. I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. That shit, I was like, I can't do this too often, but this shit, I have no regrets. It sounds crazy as fuck, but this shit tasted like, oh yeah, nah, this is it. This is the one. So yeah, that's how I'm living my life post, you know, oscopy. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here fucking bullshitting. With a clean colon. But Yeah, man. That's it, man. That's all I got to talk about.
The craziest part about not having visualization like that Is that when you said that about the, you know, the ramen and the mac and mac. Cheese? I can't put it together in my head.
You okay, know what I'm saying? I run it. I take.
No. And I feel you. And I didn't know that I wouldn't be able to do that until I went to a restaurant maybe about a week ago, and I looked at the menu, and it was one of them places where you had a, you know what I'm saying, you got to order and then put it with rice or noodles or, you know what I'm saying, you got to make the shit up.
Right.
And I'm looking at the shit, man, I felt illiterate, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this shit and I could not put it together, because usually I would visualize, okay, if I'm going to do this, then that'll look good with some noodles or some rice, you know what I'm saying? But I couldn't do it, man. I was, you know, I felt silently embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? And ashamed, and like, damn, this is fucked up. So I just ordered some motherfucking shit that I knew, you know what I'm saying? Instead of actually trying. But I was talking to my neuro coach, and she was like, you know, you should try it. And it's just a new experience. Right. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But, you know, that's what people say, they got money. You know what I'm saying? But you're trying to waste no fucking money.
Yeah, $25 like later, you're like, oh, hell no. Yeah, you got charged to the game, literally.
That's some new shit for a nigga. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I get it. I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. And I guess, yeah, it is. That's what it is. It's just like, and then I guess also just, especially if it's at a restaurant, trust the restaurant, you know, like hopefully they know what they doing. You know what I mean?
Man, if they present this shit restaurant.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
This is new.
I ain't know this restaurant like that.
I don't trust y'all.
Yeah. Well, then there you go. Well, damn. Oh, shit. But yeah, not a shit. The shit worked out. Shit worked out. It's word. Basically. Yeah. Shit, man. You got any a benediction for the people? You hit the people with a benediction, or we out?
A benediction? You know, it's hard to come up with new shit, man. I don't know. Right, hey, people, live life, be mindful, stay present, and don't worry too much about the shit you don't know. And before you make it up in your head, you know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it. Once you make it up, you know what I'm saying? You can make up all kinds of shit you can worry about. But stay focused on the present, man. Stay in it. You know what I'm saying? Trust that, you know what I'm saying, God gonna make a way for you, man. Out of no way. Alright? That's it for me.
Church. There it is. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.